from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network and all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, where you can pick up the podcast absolutely free and check out our sponsors, our good friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Their auctions are on Wednesday night. Make sure you check them out, notjustguns.com. Conquest Sense. Time is now to get your Conquest Sense, your VS1, your Evercalm and your Running Buck Sense. They've got them in vapor sense. They've got them in liquid. Also in the traditional sense on a stick, conquestsense.com, and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Getting some great pictures from around some of these hunting facilities in the state. And, man, they are producing some big bucks, and they are working hard to find out what's going on with CWD. The truth about CWD.com is where you can go to find out what kind of work and money that these United Deer Farmers of Michigan are putting forth in an effort to keep our whole state's herd healthy, not just the benefit of themselves, but the benefit of all who enjoy whitetails here in Michigan. And we are officially into fall, man, and that means we are one step closer to our 14th anniversary, going into our 15th year. I have a hard time saying that. 15th year of Wild Michigan. And from the beginning, this guy has been there. Lance Valentine from Teachin' Fishin' is joining us. And a few things have changed for both of our names over the years. I mean, of course, I was AM Outdoors when we started this, and you were Walleye 101. But we have progressed, and we've grown, and you're still teaching fishing, essentially. Lance, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm loving this weather. You know, shorts and a t-shirt during the day, and maybe a light sweatshirt at night. I'm loving this. My time of year. I like this time of year.
You know, funny you should say that. I was up in Farwell over the weekend, and let's see, it was winter at about 6 a.m. when I went out. It got to be spring about 10. Enjoyed a little bit of summer at 2. Then right into fall, right about 5-6 o'clock, you know.
Yeah, if we could get rid of the summer part, I'd be happy. We could go from winter to spring to fall back to winter. I'd be happy.
Yeah, you know what? And all in one day too. Beat that, America.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We spent a couple of days on the water, and it was the same thing. You dress in the morning, and you know, by 10:30, 11 o'clock, you get all that stuff off, and like, man, I wish I would have wore a pair of shorts underneath my long pants.
Right. Now, let's talk about this trip you took last week, because it was not the traditional walleye fishing trip. This is what's cool, is because, you know what? I mean, look, you've been teaching walleye for so long, and you also kind of taught yourself and myself that it doesn't take a big change to go after different species like you guys did last week.
Yeah, so we were up, and we were actually hosted in Gaylord. But Treetops Resort, it was a very, very select, small version of the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writer Conference that was supposed to happen. That obviously couldn't because of COVID. So a few of us that were local, they had us come up so we could kind of check the area out, because we are going to go back and do the conference in 2021. So myself and Captain Dean Cushman, that works with me at Teachin' Fishin', we took the two boats up, the Polar Craft and the Angler Quest, and we wanted to sample some of the fish, and a lot of the folks that were there wanted to go over to Grand Traverse Bay. So we went over there for 2 days. First day, I took the Polar Craft, and we did some jigging for whitefish, cisco, and lake trout. Dean took a couple riders on Angler Quest trolling for ciscos and lake trout. And then the second day, there was just two guys that wanted to go fishing, so we took them on the Angler Quest and did some trolling. But, you know, we basically went and took everything that we've been teaching forever, right? You know, our 8 steps to catching more fish, right, being in the right location, right at the water, blah, 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 the whole process that we do with the 8 steps. And basically applied it to a body of water in a that we've never been on, neither Dean nor I, to a fish that neither one of us have ever fished for. and it turned out pretty good. You know, it was as simple as driving around with the Lowrance, you know, kind of understanding, doing a little bit of work ahead of time and kind of understanding what these fish, need in the fall time, where they usually are located, what kind of bait fish they eat, kind of doing a little research with a little lake map for a day or two, trying to find some key areas. Then I was just driving over the key areas with the Lowrance, finding the fish, and then getting something that looked like they would be eating down to them and catching some fish. So we jigged up some Cisco and whitefish. The first day, the lake trout, we tried jigging for the lake trout, and they just did not want to cooperate. So after about an hour of that, we switched over. Actually, one of the writers in my boat actually needed a story about whitefish jigging. So I'm like, easy. So we switched from finding lake trout to finding whitefish, which are a complete different signature on the sonar. And once we got on those, we instantly started catching them. We caught, I don't know, a half dozen that first day in about an hour. And on the second day, we went out trolling and caught some Cisco. No whitefish the second day trolling, mostly Ciscos. And we got a few nice, actually a few nice lake trout on the second day also trolling. So, a body of water we've never been on, fishing for species we don't fish for. But again, just applying what we've been trying to teach guys for 25 years, right? Understand a little bit about the lake. Understand your game fish that are in the, that you're targeting. Understand what kind of bait fish is in the body of water. Know where it goes this time of year. The game fish are going to follow, especially in the fall. And then just our eight steps, be in the right location, be in the right depth of water, know how deep the fish are so you can get your baits above them, and then get the right lure, speed, size, shape, action, color, and you're going to catch some fish. So it was kind of neat to apply everything that we've been teaching everybody else to kind of come back and have ourselves apply it to new body of water and new species.
Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing is joining us here on Wild Michigan. Lance, I mean, the excitement level had to be a little bit different when you finally got that first hit. I mean, look, you've been through a million fish, I'll just say it. But I think the surprise, knowing you're going after something different, of course, seeing the different signatures on your sonar. I mean, you're on a different body of water. You got a different type of fish. Did it change at all, or was this just another fish?
If I ever get to the point where it's just another fish, I'm going to take up golf a little more serious. Because, even now, even every time you get hooked up on the Detroit River, or every time you see an offshore planer board go back on Saginaw Bay, it's still a big deal, right? Because if you think about the amount of water that's out there,
mm-hmm.
and how few fish are in that water, every time you catch a fish, you really should do a cartwheel, because you've done something amazing to catch a fish in its natural, habitat. But to go to a body of water we've never been to, fish a species of fish I've never fished for, with a couple outdoor riders, and to have it happen, and it was funny because I caught the first fish. It was a big whitefish, about a 6-pound whitefish, big whitefish.
Wow.
I caught the first one. So that was kind of neat. And I'm like, yeah, I got something here. And then to see the other guys in the boat catch a few too, that was, obviously that's what I do is help other people catch fish. But yeah, it was really neat to finally, I had a fish kind of whack at it once. It felt like a coho kind of smacking with its tail. But come to find out those whitefish have smaller mouths, and sometimes they'll come up and they'll actually kind of kiss a bait instead of hit it. And I think that's what I felt. I'm like, okay, there's fish down here and they're attracted to what I'm fishing with. And it wasn't 3 minutes later and I actually, it was a bite. There's no doubt about it, on a jigging rod and waxed at the hook and caught that whitefish. So yeah, I was pretty pumped, again, to go do something you've never done, a place you've never done it, and to work through the process, right? We always teach guys the process. To work through that process, know we were in the right spot, know we had the right baits, and then just being patient enough to get the fish to bite. Yeah, I'm getting excited. I'm smiling right now just thinking about it. It was pretty exciting to do it. We can catch walleyes most places we go. That's that's kind of what we do. But when you take what you know and you apply it to a different place and a different species, it really is kind of cool.
Lance Valentine joining us from Teaching Fishing here. I'm Duran Martinez. You're listening to Wild Michigan, and we're going to talk a little bit when we come back, because we've got a break coming up here, and I don't want to get into it too much. But I want to talk about how different things were between the lake and the river when you guys are jigging walleye, and I think the answer will really kind of surprise you. It did me. So stick around. We are Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, as mentioned, and we are being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Check out their Wednesday night auctions, notjustguns.com, and they've got a lot more than just guns, as the name implies, here on Wild Michigan.
You You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around. I want to feel its sway.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, a great bunch of people looking out not only for the beautiful whitetails that they help raise here in the Great Lakes State, but the ones that we all hunt and enjoy as well. The truth about CWD.com is where you need to go find out what is going on with their continued efforts into finding a stop to this disease here in the Great Lakes State. And helping out people like you and me that just like to hunt or enjoy what we do here in Michigan. Now, back to our good friend Lance Valentine from Teachin' Fishin'. And Lance, I know we talked a little bit off air, but again, look, man, I've been interviewing you and hearing your voice and hearing things and learning something new every time you come on the show. But when you have that kind of new guy enthusiasm, and not that you don't, like you said, though, it's not that you don't get excited every time a line, a hook gets set or a planer board goes back or something of that nature. But listen, there are a few things in life you can hide, especially to ears that have heard as much as mine have through headphones. Okay. And I'm not talking about music. I'm talking about dealing with people. And there are certain things you can't hide. And that is a true enthusiasm and excitement, like you showed a few minutes ago. I mean, and still, it's cool. It's so cool to know that somebody that has done this for so long still gets that excited when something like that happens. It really is.
Well, you know, it's the satisfaction of, you know, there's a lot to it, and you know, there's a satisfaction of knowing you can do it. Number one. And number two, you know, we know that our eight-step system works, right? We've been teaching it for 25 years. We know it helps you catch more fish if you follow that process. You know, pay attention to what's most important. That's why we have eight steps, and number one is more important than number two. But to actually, you know, I basically subconsciously apply it now because I'm fishing the same place the same time of year over and over and over again, so I kind of know what's going on. So to take what we have taught other people and go, okay, let's make sure we're on the right track here, and to apply that, and then to be on the water for literally, you know, we spent about half hour looking for fish. We kind of found some spots, put a few waypoints on the GPS, went back, tried to jig the lake trout. The lake trout didn't want to bite. I'd seen some Siskoy whitefish a little bit off the bottom as we were looking for lake trout. I'm like, okay, you know, I got a guy in the boat that wants to do a story on whitefish and Siskoy jigging. Perfect. So we just switched over a little bit, didn't really change tactics, just kind of changed location and how deep we were in the water column, and it instantly worked. So knowing that that process works and that you can still apply the process even though you're an old grizzled veteran and you still can go back to the start and kind of start over again, it was really cool, really exciting to you know, to get some fish on the line. It was a really, really, really exciting day.
See, I knew it. This is what's so much fun about doing this job. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day. He says, you know, I'm not in your area anymore. I miss the show, which I'm very, that makes me feel very good to hear that, because, I mean, we don't get a lot of, you know, a lot of feedback on the show, which is fine. I get it. But the fact that we're still here kind of means something to somebody. Either that or they don't have 2 hours to fill. You know, on a radio station somewhere, but it's you know, a lot of this is conversations with friends that we have made over the years, but we still get something out of it. We're not beating things into your head about you need to use this lure, this color at this time and this water temperature, any of that stuff. It's never been like that.
Right.
And you know, and to have something like that change and to hear something different. And what really surprised me in the conversation we had leading up to the start of this show today was the fact that what you used wasn't that much different, if at all, from what you used in the river come springtime.
Yeah, same 5.5-foot medium heavy jigging rod, same 12-foot Sunline braided line that we use on the river. I actually started with our 1-ounce river jigs in a one of our 4-inch jerk minnows, something we use on the river all the time. The guys in the back, one had a glide bait, kind of like a jig and Rapala on, and another one of the guys in the back had a jigging spoon on. So we gave the fish a couple different options. But yeah, same exact rod. The only thing we did different, you know, on the river, I tie my jigs direct to the braid. Out here, I put a fluorocarbon leader on simply because it had nothing to do with the fish being able to see the bright yellow braided line. I knew we were going to be jigging for lake trout. I knew we were going to be on the bottom. And that fluorocarbon is much more abrasion resistant than the braid is. So I put a fluorocarbon leader on simply for the abrasion resistance of, you know, jigging in the rocks. And that's the only change I made. And it was the same exact thing. Get your jig down to where the fish are. We jigged a little more aggressive. Those whitefish and Cisco seem to like it a little more aggressive. So instead of just, you know, a little 4 to 6 inch lifts like we do on Detroit River, it was, you know, 2 to 3 foot quick snaps with a little different jigging motion. But it was the same exact stuff. Same rods, same reels. Same jigs, same plastics, same exact stuff we use on the Detroit River. Didn't change a single thing.
Speaking with Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing here on Wild Michigan. And Lance, of course, the first thing out of my mouth was, wow, I really overthought that one.
Well, you know, and I think guys do, right? I think, you know, I watch a lot of stuff on TV, you know, when I'm just kind of sitting here. I try to watch some fishing shows, and You know, Jason Gaylord was a big sponsor of our event there, and they gave us gift cards. So we stopped on the way home to get some stuff. I wanted to get some more jigging spoons. So I don't have a very good jigging spoon selection. So at the end cap, they've got one of the end caps. They got, you know, pike and walleye lures. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty silly. And I look, I'm like, okay, this is one. I kind of hit, you know, kind of elbowed Dean, says, look, this is one of the problems of the fishing world is everybody thinks of a lure as a species specific, right?
Mm-hmm.
A safety pin style spinnerbait is a bass lure. No, it's not. It's a way to fish through heavy cover. I've caught more walleyes on a traditional quote unquote bass style spinnerbait on these shallow lakes that I fish that have weeds in, like Nepstein being a great example. Any place you fish for walleyes in the weeds, Saginaw Bay, we're weed fishing. If we're gonna go a casting trip, one of the things I pull out is a 3/4 or 3/8, half or 3/4 ounce bass style spinnerbait, because there's no better way to get through the weeds and not get tangled than that. All it does is imitate bait fish. It's a great walleye catcher in the weeds. So you really can't look at lures as bass lures, walleye lures, pike lures. That's silly. We want to match the size and shape and the action of the bait fish that the game fish are feeding on. And right now, up there in the fall, these fish are feeding on 3 to 5 inch bait fish. We think they're Elwise. The ones that we saw were kind of digested enough, but they look like Elwise. You know, so Elwise are kind of a brownish, greenish, grayish color. So anything that, you know, that's kind of drab, we use our watermelon-colored jerk minnow that we use on the Detroit River. That's what I caught my fish on. So anything that, you know, 3, 4, 5 inches, fairly skinny shape, well, maybe, you know, maybe a little fat on the body, something that looks like that. It doesn't matter that it's a walleye lure or a bass lure. Forget that. What does my bait need to look like? How does it need to move through the water? What action does it have to have? What shape does it need to look like? What size does it need to be? Then pick that lure. So lure should never be classified by species. So all we did was just match the hatch, figure out what the fish are feeding on, and put lures down there to look like that.
There it is. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
That's it, man. Lance Valentine, Teaching Fishing. As always, man, we appreciate your time, and thank you so much. And great to hear that enthusiasm here. We got more coming your way. I'm Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, fully vested into the fall season. And thanks again to Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing. And it's so cool, man, to hear new guy excitement out of somebody that's been doing it for 25 years. Teaching Fishing, that is, teachingfishing.com. But 25 years he's been teaching people. And to have that kind of excitement still coming out of somebody during an interview is awesome. It's infectious and fun to do, man, fun to talk about. Thanks to our friends at Conquest Sense in good old Michigan here in Davison. putting out some stuff, time to get your scents together, your VS1 and your Evercomb and your Rutting Buck scents. Getting all set for the bow season coming up October 1st. And, you know, when we wanted to know what summer was weather was going to be like, we turned to our good friend, meteorologist Andy Provenzano from WILX-TV10. And Andy joins us right now on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Andy, you, sir, did not disappoint when it came to your prediction. I was hoping you were going to be wrong about days in June that were going to be 90 and seeing a lot of 90-plus days. But you were spot on, dude. Every time, every day, I looked at that temperature, I'm like, he was right. He was right. So, yeah,
what,
incredible.
What a summer. What a summer. Wasn't that a great summer?
You know what? I don't like hot, but when you have the wet conditions that we had in the beginning, then we have these really hot temperatures, it makes for great antler growth throughout the course of the year for whitetail. So, I mean, again, we've had this perfect storm for good antler growth because there's been a lot of food. There's been a lot of water. We haven't had the EHD outbreaks that we've had because of drought conditions. We, you know, I mean, there's a lot of good things that have happened for the whitetail herd this year. And, you know, and now here, let's look into the fall because I'm already seeing velvet starting to be shed. We're going to start seeing these scrapes and these rubs and stuff. And I want to look ahead to the fall weather because a lot of this weather depends, you know, the fishing, salmon fishing and the walleye fishing in the fall is fantastic with the right weather. And then, of course, the big question is, will we see some ice this year? Because it's been kind of thin lately.
Yeah, that's a lot there. You know, the cooler weather's on the way next week, and we're going to start seeing more influx of fall for sure. This stretch here this week has just been gorgeous, as is the case in September, most of the great weather. But, yeah, the lake temperatures are way up there still. So that's got to come down a little bit, and I think we'll see that happen too. So fall's on the way, and we're going to see a low pressure in early next week. That'll bring down some pretty cold air, so we'll spend days in the 50s and very windy and raw kind of weather. And then that kind of subsides a little bit into the middle of October and then comes back again. I think the setup here is eventually to see really cold air just north of the border in Canada and really warm air south of us, and we kind of ride the middle. And when you get a low pressure coming across the country, it'll pull up some warmth for a day and then tug down the cold air for about 3 or 4 days. And I think that's how our October is going to be, some up and down. The getting back into the 70s like we have been this week and even maybe 80 in the next few days, it's going to be a lot tougher to do once we get into October. Pretty cool weather. I think October as a whole will probably average out below normal. So that's getting into October is just a set up for the fall temperatures. And now we got to worry about winter time. And that's all across the board right now, how winter's going to shape up.
Andy Provenzano is our guest here. You know, we've dealt with these cold blasts coming out of Canada, this Arctic air that has been coming through. I mean, we have had some seriously cold winters previously, and then, you know, now we're waiting till like January to get ice. It's so strange. Not the stuff I'm used to from when I'm being a kid in Michigan.
And it's tough to do when you got the lakes and there's a lot of water to freeze up. So that's tough to do that to get the ice. This year, it may not happen as much again. I don't think we'll be ice-free, but it may not be a very long season of ice. The fluctuation, what's happening is something called La Nina. I mean, we hear about El Nino a lot. La Nina is the ocean waters in the Pacific have cooled. And that means usually you get a pretty colder pattern across the northern U.S. and sometimes a lot snowier. Not a guarantee. La Nina is a little trickier than when we warm things up because you can get a whole, we've had La Nina winters that have been warm and wet, and we've had La Nina winters that have dumped a ton of snow. So what happens over the next couple of months really will determine how that turns out. The winter could be very, very changeable. December where you get a lot of snow and a January where you get little and it's just cold. So there's going to be a lot of fluctuation in this upcoming winter, that's for sure. But I think this winter, a little more winter than we saw last winter. We got through last winter with hardly anything going on, but this one's going to have a lot more stretches of cold and snow.
Andy Provenzano is our guest here in Wild Michigan. You know, I'll be selfish and say I really didn't mind last winter. In the grand scheme of things, I'm not a snowmobiler. You know, I like my ice fishing. Don't get me wrong, but it's if you have those things, and this is why I don't partake in snowmobiling and motorcycling, things of that nature. Look, I love them, I appreciate them, and I have nothing against them. But personally, I cannot pay for something year-round that I can use like a couple times during the year.
I understand that. I kind of am in the same boat. I know 3 winters ago, anybody had a snowmobile was loving it. The powder up north and just tons and tons of snow. But that just doesn't happen a lot. And we got a lot of winters where you try to grab a weekend here and there to find some snow up north. But this winter might have a little bit more, but you're right. It's going to be tough again, I think, for some of those stores. Last winter was nice. That was for the simple reason that, you know, our water levels are so high and beach erosion going crazy. It was exactly what the doctor ordered to get through a winter. It could have been a lot worse for our folks along the coastline, and that was a much better situation. We've seen water levels come down here as typical in August and September. That's your low period, and I think what they're pretty much saying right now is those water levels are pretty much where they were just a year ago. So they did go up over the spring, and they've kind of recovered back to where they were, and I think we may get another couple inches dropping here before we get through fall.
Andy Provenzano, our guest. Historically, Andy, are our water levels, are they safe? Are they high? Because, I mean, I know at the beginning of the year, there was water in places that we haven't seen in quite some time.
Yeah, you know, I compare it to last year. You know, I like to travel the state as you do and hop into some beaches and go here and there. And there was room to put down a chair and watch the water. And this year, some of these beaches, you go to Arcadia, you head up to Virgin Bay Beach, or even down to Salicatuck, you know, the beach disappears. You got a lot of moisture over the winter and springtime. That's all recovered, and it's starting to go down. We're still very close to record highs. This month of September, just shy of the all-time. The 1986 is kind of the highest point for the lakes. We had a very, very high then, and we fell just shy of that here this month. So that's a good sign. If we don't get above 86, then we can recover out of this. It's cyclical. It can't stay high forever. And we have seen the trend downward, but it would be nice to have it go down.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we talk about things about, you know, the water height and things like that. It is cyclical, and I think that this Earth balances things. You know, I mean, look, it's been around for billions of years as far as we know, and what we know couldn't fill a thimble about what this planet does for its atmosphere and its, you know, and its recovery.
Yeah, the amount of record-taking, accurate record-taking, I mean, you could say it goes back 100 years. And even then wasn't the best. There's the mention of weather in the Bible, if you want to count that. But you're right. It's just a blink in time as to what's been going on around here. And, you know, when you're a meteorologist and you sit down and you look at weather maps and you're obviously concentrating here around Michigan, you also see other parts of the country and world. Whatever's going on in the northern hemisphere is eventually going to influence our weather. So for every hot spot, I can find a cold spot. For every wet spot, I can find a dry spot. And Mother Nature has a way of balancing things out. I think look at weather has really changed because we see it 24/7 real time. Years ago, if there was 50 inches of snow in the Rockies, you found out about it about 3 days later in a newspaper article, or somebody went out there and shot a story. And now the stuff's coming at us full force. So you have a lot of influence. Weather across the world.
All right, Andy Provenzano joining us here. He is meteorologist for WILX TV 10 here in Lansing. And we're going to talk more about weather and what to expect in the remaining months of 2020. Thank God it's almost over here on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. And that band that does that song is Hello Dave. I don't even know. I think they were out of Illinois, I think. And I don't even know if they're even together again or anymore. But years ago, they stopped by WITL, which is a sister country station here to the studio where I broadcast from. And they did that song live. And I'm like, wow, that's a really cool song, singing about the Great Lakes State, singing about Michigan. And can I use that on the show? They're like, oh, yeah, absolutely. So we still use it. I really like the song. And if you want to look it up, again, the band is Hello Dave. And I don't know if they're still together anymore or, you know, if Magoo is doing his own thing. But I just remember them and the song, and it was really cool. So thanks again to Hello Dave for letting us use it. Back to our good friend Andy Provenzauer right now. And we're speaking of weather, and he nailed it, as they say, for the summer forecast when we had him back on in June. And we're now looking ahead to the unpredictable winters of Michigan and the fall. Andy, real quickly, I mean, it's funny to hear people talk about how, wow, the leaves are really changing fast on us this year and this and that and the other, you know, talking about the color, which I will go into in a second. But I just think because we have so much more time, a lot of us have so much more time at home, we are actually taking that moment to stop and see what's going on around us in this whole, you know, crazy world that we live in. Things have slowed down a little bit for us personally.
Yeah, I would agree. Certainly, you're getting a lot more pictures that you can see from other parts of the state on people's Facebooks and things like that. And maybe you're noticing. Yeah, this is a very typical fall as far as color is concerned. It's starting out just normal. And there are things that can make the color better, but ultimately what drives the color change is just the lack of sunshine. As you keep losing more and more sun, you start changing those sugars inside the leaves and you change over the colors. Now, if you get a lot of cold nights, that'll help you more vibrant colors. Having very dry conditions can also get the leaves faster. But I think as a whole, here we are in late September. The UP is probably going to be peaking out in their color sometime next week into the first weekend of October. That's very typical. And then it'll work it southward. There's pockets of color in northern lower, and then it's starting here in the southern part of the state. So I think that's right on target. But obviously, people, if they don't have a job right now, or maybe they have more opportunity to take notice, fall's coming as normal. I think it's going to be a busy weekend for the farmers bringing in probably some of those soybean crops that dried up. I've seen quite a few of those. Trying to beat the wet, cool week of next week. So, yeah, we're right into fall.
You know, our producer, Alex Clark, comes from a farming family. And, you know, just in the conversations I've had with him over the years, I've learned quite a bit. And I've always, because my mom grew up in a rural area, I've always really paid attention to when crops have gone in, what the crops are looking like. And I've really watched the bean fields. I mean, they've gone from that lush green to a bright gold in about no time. And they'll be, you know, they'll be all browned up here before long. And they're going to start harvesting that.
Yeah, I would think some of that comes in this weekend. I've seen a lot where the leaves have dropped already. And that's just all a sign of you know, lack of sunshine again and getting deep into the season. Because the growing season really hasn't stopped. We haven't had our first hard freeze of the fall. And farmers look at that, you know, when did the last freeze kind of thing, how many months did they get? I think the corn crop is unbelievable. How we were able to get rain right at the perfect time and have all that heat. You know, the corn stalks are tall. There's a lot on them. So that's going to be good news. It'll be dry out into the month of October and they can go get those as well. So making farmers happy is a good thing.
Well, you know, and the thing is, too, it really looked like we might not have had much of a crop this year because everything was so late. It was so wet. They couldn't get out in the fields to plant. You know, I've got a few friends that are farmers, and they were kind of shaking their heads in the beginning. And now I'm driving around going, how'd this all happen? How did this all they get all in, get that kind of production out of what they planted in that amount of time?
I remember saying, you know, you always go to that knee high by the 4th of July. And I remember in June looking at it, going, oh, never going to make that. I don't know how we're going to get that by July 4th. And we passed it. Hot weather means hot soil. Hot soil means good growth. Just enough rain here and there. So everything went crazy. Now the deer are loving it. I got a farmer's field behind my house, and they're out there cruising through everything. So it should be pretty good when we get into deer season for plenty of food out there. That's
well, there's definitely going to be food, but will there be cover? Will they be able to take those things down, or will they even want to take them down? Because I've seen crops standing in January before. So I guess that's the one thing I don't know is, are they going to want to take them down, and will they take them down, you know, with a nice dry October?
You know, I think so. I think after we get a little wet spell to start the month, the rest of the month is fairly dry, so it'll be up to them. I know some farmers who leave a little bit standing until January just because of that, and others have been burned by the weather, and when they get the dry conditions, we're bringing it in. Once the moisture levels drop inside the kernel, they go for it because you just can't throw the weather.
Right. Andy Provenzano, meteorologist for WILX TV 10, joining us here. Andy, we talked off air about how things have changed for you. I mean, since I've been doing this show, we're coming up on our 14th anniversary on September 30th here, which surprises me, honestly. You know, I didn't think we would last a couple of weeks with this show, but we've been very blessed and have had the opportunity to stick around through like three or four ownership changes of this building and the radio stations around us. Of course, I'm no longer in the classic rock end of things. I'm doing this strictly as far as radio is concerned. Plus, I have my outside business with estate sales and antique sales outside of here. But, you know, I go back to when I was younger, and that really, in the grand scheme of time, was not that long ago. And we talked about, you know, sticking the clouds in the sunshine on a magnetic board. And you had made mention of being in the UP where you guys had maps that you drew on.
Yeah, I had to buy stencils because my handwriting was so bad. So if I had to put temperatures on the map, I used stencils. Yeah, we had closed maps. That's how far back it went. And I remember the first surge of computers coming in. Heck, the first time you and I would talk, I was on landline. There's no such thing as a cell phone. But the weather has really advanced. Getting satellites and radars back there in the 50s and 60s really helped. And then getting better computer processing, because there's no busier computer handling more data than the weather computers in our country. And those have advanced tremendously. So we can run 20 different computer models, and the amount of data and math going inside those equations that represent the atmosphere is pretty amazing. And now we've got computers that, when I sit down, I can call up a certain computer model and it's right in front of me showing how the clouds are going to come and go. And the question is which one's going to be right out of all those 20? It's amazing. I never used magnets, but I saw what it looked like. That's for sure.
Well, you know, I mean, we always talked about, a lot of us talk about, you know, we're disappointed we didn't get our flying cars with the Jetsons, but damn it, we've got visible handheld phones in our hand that we can see each other with. You know, I mean, honestly, out of the world, what more do you want? 10 years ago, I don't think we had that capability.
Just think of the money saved.
Right.
Didn't have to go visit Grandma. Just call her up on the phone, and our business meetings or all the rest of that. And that, our phones are just in their infancy. Just wait and see. It's pretty much going to be what drives us, is everything will be on the phone. Even the TV industry knows that's coming their way too. So, in my career, I have seen it all. I don't know how much more is going to change on me, but hopefully I can hang on a little longer.
I don't know, man. I've been, I was in one industry. I used to be a printing press operator for 16 years. And luckily in the late 90s, I got out of that business, and it is completely, it's almost a dinosaur now that nobody's running machinery. I mean, there's still some platforms that you need it, but everything's, you know, digital copiers now. It's just, it's incredible the changes that have been made, and not only, you know, the media industry, but in industry in general. It's like when a bunch of reporters were together at GM years and years ago saying, you know, we're going to have robots doing all this stuff now. And one reporter asked, well, what about the employees? Which was not a popular question with General Motors. And, you know, and look, they've even been downsized. So, I mean, it's just incredible how technology has changed. But I don't think, honestly, and I'm just going to say this from my own perspective, I don't think we've gotten any smarter because of it.
No. And now with the COVID, I think we're learning how much more got reduced and how much more companies have to cut back because they can't trust normal retail and all the rest of that. It's all hurtful. It really is. I still go and do my banking at a bank.
Yeah.
I don't do it online. You know, I go to my local hardware store when I need something, and I'm just me. That's how I am, and that's unfortunately fading away really fast.
Well, I tell you one thing that'll never change: the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and seeing a live rock and roll concert. Those things will always be fantastic in my world. Andy Provenzano, you are one of those guys as well, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to our friends at Conquest Sense, also Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, and United Deer Farmers of Michigan. They are the ones bringing you this show each and every week. 14th anniversary show next week. Who will be on? Will our very first guest be on? I'm working on that. If you can remember that far back, it'll be a gonzo time, if you know what I'm saying. Thanks for joining us. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network.